Hello, welcome to the Friday, May 9th, 2014 edition of the Sands and its Storms and its Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich, and I'm today recording from Jacksonville, Florida. Got some interesting packets today from one of our readers who was a little bit startled by all of a sudden seeing about 5 megabits per second of traffic hitting his network and causing a little bit of a problem. Turns out that he was not actually the target of a denial of service attack, but instead his network, or to be more precise, a device in his network was used to amplify a denial of service attack. We keep seeing where different UDP-based protocols are being abused this way. In particular, we have seen a lot of DNS and NTP in the past, but in this case, it was SNMP. SNMP, the Simple Network Management Protocol, hasn't been used that much for denial of service attacks, I think in part because there are not necessarily that many exposed devices out there, but once you actually look at some of the smaller devices on networks, in this case it was actually a video conferencing system, then you may find you actually have quite a few of denial of service capable reflectors on your network. In this case, the amplification was pretty amazing. The inbound traffic was only 87 bytes. On the other hand, the outbound traffic was about 60 kilobytes. So that's pretty much more than what I've seen with any DNS or NTP reflective attacks. Plus, in NTP, you can see large amplifications like this, but it depends on you hitting the right NTP server who actually has that many clients connected to it. While, of course, with SNMP, you just need to hit the right ID that then returns a good amount of data. Quick lesson here, don't let SNMP travel into your network, not just because you may be abused as a reflector, but also there's a lot of other damage that an attacker may do with SNMP. And while we're talking about video conferencing systems and the Internet of Things, IOActive came out with yet another blog post illustrating some of the vulnerabilities that they're finding in devices. In this case, it was traffic signals. Turns out that the wireless part of traffic signals is pretty vulnerable and relatively easy to hack with. That an attacker could, for example, change the green and red cycle on a traffic signal, also display messages on traffic warning signs or adjustable speed limits. Now, this has been demonstrated in some cases before. Here, one of the new things is that they actually did hack some of the wireless communications going to the traffic signal, so there wasn't necessarily sort of remote IP access here. However, as they pointed out, it could have been easily done within a mile or two off the affected traffic signal, and they did some real-world tests, at least sniffing the signals, in order to demonstrate that they're indeed vulnerably configured. The vendor in this case refuses to patch the systems, stating that the municipalities who are buying these systems actually want them to work this way, and as a result, they can't really make them any more secure. And just to prove that old vulnerabilities become new again in the Internet of Things, we do have an interesting write-up here about the Samsung NX300 smart camera. This camera, like many recent cameras, does include Wi-Fi capability, so the camera will get an IP address. Not only that, turns out that the camera is running an X server. Remember X window? Well, it's still used on many Linux systems. In this case, it's running on the camera, and the X server is not protected, so a remote user can, for example, control the display of the camera, and as is shown in this blog post, for example, acknowledge dialogues that allow you access to the camera. Also, firmware update queries apparently are done via HTTP, not HTTPS, and someone could at least downgrade the firmware or maybe even supply arbitrary firmware. There are also some privacy issues with the camera, for example, reporting its location as part of these update queries. And for Microsoft today, we got the advance notification for next week's bulletins. Turns out that we'll receive 8 bulletins, 2 of which are rated as critical. One of the critical ones is Internet Explorer, which we just patched 2 weeks ago. And the remainder affects the usual suspects, lots of Windows patches, couple of Office ones, and then one for Microsoft server software, productivity software, which usually means some of the server components of Office, maybe SharePoint. However, what really confuses a lot of people, and we're still trying to find a simple answer to this, is what version of Windows 8 is actually still supported? Turns out by now there are 3 distinct versions of Windows 8. Who would have known? I don't think I've used it myself for more than 15 minutes yet, but either way, there's Windows 8, there's Windows 8.1, and there's Windows 8.1 Update. I guess in the old naming scheme, that would be Windows 8.1 Service Pack 1, but Microsoft choose to call it Update. The problem is that as of this month, as of May, Windows 8.1, which was actually just released not too long ago, will no longer be supported. Instead, only Windows 8.1 Update will be supported. In addition to make things more interesting for users, a lot of people reported problems updating to Windows 8.1 Update. I had 2 reports here just this week. For one user, the update would just fail, which appears to be very typical and very common. Another user had an interesting issue that Internet Explorer would no longer work. Now, this may be a security feature in Windows 8.1 Update, but I don't think that's what Windows or Microsoft intended to do here. So expect a little diary in the next couple days, cleaning up a little bit what the exact support timeframes are for these different versions of Windows. And well, it is it for today. So thanks again for listening and talk to you again on Monday. Bye.